Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Over the weekend, from the 23rd of July to the Sunday 26th, the Paddy Power Comedy Festival returns to the Ivy Gardens for 4 days of comedy, which I have to say I'm fairly amazed by. I just think, are there really that many comedians in the world? Can you really get 4 days out of them? Eric Lawler will be the MC on the bleeding massive stage alongside Emma Doran, Simon Brodkin, Rachel Galvo, Paddy McConnell from 4:30 on Saturday. So, excuse me for reacting in that way, but it does seem kind of amazing, doesn't it?
Do you think so?
I think I do. I remember when comedy was seen as the new rock and roll. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and there was only about 10 of them.
10, yeah. Which seemed like a lot.
It's oversaturated. You
know? And I think really the Kilkenny Cat Laughs Festival was the one where you could first kind of see foreign comedians coming in. And
that's the beauty, I suppose, of the comedy festivals. You get to see acts from outside of Ireland, you know. Yeah. You've got the best from America, Australia, all coming into the Paddy Power, the Cat Laughs, and all that. But it's great as for me personally as a Dublin Irish comedian being on a bill with these guys that you wouldn't normally get to work with, like, you know. And I know for a fact, Tom, it's the only gig my mum comes to see me every year, and it doesn't matter who I'm on with. I remember being on 1 year with Dara O'Brien and Tommy Tiernan. I came off stage, goes, Eric, you were the best. I love that.
Is it risky bringing your mum to a gig like that? I mean,
she's well able for me, you know. I mean, she probably forms half the material, to be honest with you, like, you know. And she's able to sit there going, yeah, that's me he's talking about. That's me. She's delighted.
My mother would have been delighted I find it a little bit hard to keep up. I don't know whether that's, you know, do you have to be in the comedy world to know every single one of these people or...
No, I mean, I think what's happened with comedy over the last few years, Tom, is that people are coming in from different angles. You don't, you're like, you used to be a comedian, you'd start open mics, you go into clubs, do loads of gigs, 5 minutes long, no money until you got better and got paid. Yeah. Now we're getting guys coming straight in to headline because they've been online. You know, they've a good social presence on Instagram, TikTok, they're doing funny videos and boom, they're straight onto the lineup. So,
Fair enough. Yeah. It's like beforehand you would have done your 5 minutes leading up to hopefully a TV appearance.
That's it, yeah. Remember, where's the panel?
You can just hold up your phone.
Yeah, everyone's on television now.
And you can look back at it and go, I'm not really, you know, I'm speaking too quickly or whatever.
You can edit it into a silly face. To an interview life, exactly. Yeah.
Incredible. But I like the idea of the you know, going out in the cold face and standing in front of a cold room of people and either, you know, they walk out or they clap.
It's a fine line, all right, Tom.
It's the cold face, isn't it?
It's a fine line between applause and slow hand clap, is what I always say, you know. Yeah. But that's like any comedian will tell you that you will learn so much from going into a tough room with a small crowd. You know, small crowd are they're self aware and they tend not to laugh, even if you are funny, so I'm told.
What's that about? So listen, dare I ask who some of these people are, because I won't lie,
okay,
I'm not that familiar with a lot of them.
Alright, so Emma Doran is
Emma Doran.
Emma's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a gig with her tonight in Lucan, so looking forward to that. And so Paddy McDonald is from Belfast. He's one of the biggest comedians up north. The north of Ireland has a huge contingent of comedians who are smashing it everywhere, and Paddy's one of them. He's from the Falls Road. He used to drive a black cab. He's got amazing stories, great presence. I love Paddy. I've been gigging with him for a few years now.
Is that a little bit new for them? We're talking about the troubles that are on the photographer, a British Army war painter. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, it must be incredibly difficult to be a comedian of any sort during the troubles. And
I suppose with Paddy now, he's probably, like, he grew up in the troubles, but he didn't become a comedian until the troubles were over. But he had a lot of material to fall back on. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the comedians that came from the North during the troubles, Paddy Keelty is the classic example, you know, and he's obviously directly affected by what happened up there. But Paddy's amazing. He's just a natural storyteller. And I think his thick Belfast accent lends itself to the...
Great accent.
Yeah, it really is, you know. Yeah. Rachel Galvo is another comedian who's on. She's one who I've never seen before, Tom, but I'm hearing amazing things about her. She's got a massive following online, so I think she broke through online kind of thing before she started doing stand-up, so to speak. And Simon Brodkin is just incredible. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, Tom, there was a big controversy with Sepp Blatter. He was doing a press conference and this fella came in and started throwing notes at him.
Yeah.
That's Simon Brodkin.
That's incredibly prescient of
yeah,
him, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Having come through the World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised he's alive, to be honest with you, the way FIFA work. But he's on. I'm looking forward to seeing him. So it's as you say, it's on the Bleeding Massive stage. What a name for it.
Brilliant.
For a venue.
Yeah, some people won't get that.
No, I know. Yeah.
Bleeding Massive.
Bleeding
what
Massive.
What is that about?
You need to drop the G, Bleeding Massive.
Yeah,
that's
Bleeding
what it is.
Massive. Which can mean loads of different things. Yeah. So go on, go through a few more because I honestly don't like. I can name a few. Red Richardson.
Red Richardson. So he's I don't know him actually, Tom. Right. So I can't believe.
Finley Christie.
Oh, Finley Christie. Oh, yeah. Don't know him either.
Yeah.
I just got to talk to the comedians on my show. I didn't do much
research.
Give
me more of them.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a huge cohort of Irish acts that are on, you know, but I think what's beautiful about the Paddy Power Comedy Festival is that there's something for everyone. It really is. Like, yeah. It sounds like a cliche, but you're going in, you're going to see four acts and usually those acts, they're all of different kind of styles and there will be something there for you.
Well, some of the ones, Foil Arms and Hogs.
Amazing.
I can remember them when they started out and they were... I found them incredible. I think they were in UCD, weren't
yes.
they? And they just kind of talked to each other and said, we're going to go as seriously about this as we would a degree in, you know, architecture or engineering or one of those things.
And they went hard at it, Tom. And I used to sympathise them at the start because when they were doing the small gigs and you're only getting small fees, but they still had to split between three people.
Yeah.
So they're getting even smaller fees.
For me in a band, I look at bands that have 8 or 9 members and I think... Are they not starving to death?
Yeah, it's a big, you know, I can't believe one of the lads from Foil Arms and Hog didn't go solo. But the three of them are brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. And the nicest fellas in comedy as well, Tom. And I, you know, it's one of those acts you see on the Irish circuit with incredible success and you're so happy for them.
Yeah. A lot of legends there as well. Jason Bourne.
Ah, Jay, yeah. Jason went on my honeymoon with me, would you believe?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Exactly, yeah. So,
why?
So I was getting married, right? And he was going to the wedding and all that. And he says, yeah, where are you going on your honeymoon? I said, I'm going to Barcelona the next day. He went, no way. I says, why? He says, I fly out to Madrid the day after your wedding. And then the night after that, I'm doing a gig in Barcelona. And I said, no way. So he said it to his missus, who knew my missus, and then they made a phone call. Now his missus rang, my missus said, I can't believe he's after inviting us on your honeymoon. But me and the missus were together for so long, we 4 kids, we'd run out of things to say to each other, so we were delighted to have someone else on the honeymoon.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah. So the girls, 4 kids gone on your honeymoon.
No, I didn't bring them.
You know, it's horse before car. Yeah, yeah. Like, stuff there.
We were engaged 15 years, had 4 kids, just wanted to be sure, Tom.
All right, know? Yeah. No, all right. You can't be too careful.
Exactly.
Can't be too careful. See if Jason's brilliant. Dylan Moore.
Oh man, what a man.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, I don't know, I see him as a bit of like a Messi of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, he's just that outlier, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
I love
insightful
him.
And brilliant.
Yeah.
And then you've all those people, and you were saying then like people like Carl Spain, who we know and love, Neil Delamar as well. But is that you know, way people break through in comedy changing things now? Because it really is. So it's, comedy is very suitable to social media, isn't it?
Yeah.
And podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I still think that people are better off going through the way we came through, you know, doing all the open spots, doing those awkward gigs in front of a few people, because they define you, they make you harder. And, you know, when you come to a gig and a joke doesn't land, you don't panic. You just go, all right, whatever. And you move on to the next one.
It's not really my problem.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not really the joke's
this
problem.
This joke broke last night. It's you.
Yeah.
It's you. It's not me.
Yeah, no, that is character forming.
Yeah.
And I think those gigs can come at you anytime. It's not like they only happen when you're beginning.
Oh,
they can
no.
still happen at any moment.
It could happen on Saturday at 4:30 as I walk onto the Bleeding Massive stage, Tom, and I fall on my face or something.
Yeah.
Now, that would get a laugh, but I could have a broken jaw.
And then you just have to draw on previous experiences.
This has happened before.
I lived through it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I will live through this again.
I have a little staple that I say. So, you know, obviously in gigs, you try a little bit of new material. I did one there on Saturday, it was, in Stamullen. In County Meath, I was doing a gig and I threw out something. Didn't get the best reaction.
Right.
So my comeback was, well, there's new material that'll never see the light of day again. So thank you for your honesty, Stamullen. And they laugh at that. You know what I mean?
It's funny you say that because I tend to relate all these things to music. Where one of the first things you learn is if you do a festival, don't play a new song.
Oh, yes. Give them the golden classics.
And it's the same with...
Pretty much, I would say, yeah, for sure. I mean, as a comedian, you do get paranoid about doing repeating material.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me before a festival gig and go, I hope you're doing that bit and that bit and that bit. And you're like, oh yeah, I am actually delighted.
Why do they not get bored? That's, you know.
I don't know. I
think you're telling the same thing.
Someone said to me, So they hadn't seen me in about a year, but and the last time they'd seen me, it was a special occasion. It was a great night they had, and they remembered that piece of material. And to them, that piece of material is an association of a good time in their life, yeah, a great night that they had, kind of thing. I think that's what they're.
And just want to hear it again.
Yeah, just want to hear it again.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And they don't mind that they know the punchline.
Yeah, it's coming.
Just want to see you enjoying it and see you delivering it.
And they're turning around to other people going, "When you see this, when you see this."
Oh, that's great. I know so many of those people. It really is brilliant. But I will say too, I do get the impression that comedy is really benefiting from, and so few people can say, so few other media can say that, it's benefiting from social media, it's benefiting from podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. As we just mentioned there, you can jump the queue now as a comedian. Yeah. If you've got a presence online.
Yeah, and you can monetize it, really, you know. You can build a small show and sell it on a podcast and then, you know, I don't want to say the words kerching, but that is what's coming through my mind.
That's the plan.
That's probably deeply offensive to you.
Not at all. We haven't earned that yet, Tom. We're hoping to.
Someday. I was reading bits about you. I didn't realise that Des Bishop played such a part in bringing you into this world.
I know.
That was what? Joy in the Hood.
20 years ago, Tom, would you believe? Yeah, 20 years ago, 2006.
So what was that?
So it was a TV show on RT called Des Bishop's Joy in the Hood, where he went into disadvantaged areas to try and unearth new comedic talent. And you had to kind of audition for the show. I did it. I was out in Ballymun. He came to Ballymun. There was a day of auditions and they picked six people from those auditions. And I was fortunate enough to be one of the six. And then for 3 or 4 weeks, the RT cameras followed us around in our own lives. But the whole aim of the show was to come up with 5 minutes of material to perform in front of a local audience about the area you're from.
Okay.
So
it's a great idea for a show.
Yeah, really. And he went to Knocknaheeny in Cork. He went to Tuam with the Travellers in Galway. He did Moy Ross down in South Hill down in Limerick. He did the Bogside up in Derry, and he did the Shankill Road in Belfast. But myself and Willie are probably the only two from the whole series who are still doing it, kind of thing, like, you know. But it was a phenomenal experience. I mean, there's not many comedians, Tom, who can say their very first ever stand-up gig was broadcast to the nation.
Yeah.
That's what it was, like, you know.
Wow.
Which is a cringe.
And you hadn't done stuff prior to this, had you?
No, not at all, like, you know.
So what made you think I'd like to try this?
I don't know. I used to have a job. My wife's here, listen, still tutting. I used to have a good job in IBM. And anytime somebody, I suppose, left the building, was leaving the job, I'd be entrusted with writing a speech for them, like an obituary almost, just ripping the piss out of them for the next 15 minutes.
Call that roasting now.
Oh, excuse me. Sure, keep up with the times, Eric.
Yeah.
And then people used to come up to me and go, "You're wasting here, man. You need to do something." But at the time, I was like, how do you get into comedy? I didn't know any pathways. And then the Des thing came along. But at the time, it was just a poster that said, "Do you fancy trying stand-up comedy workshops?" It didn't mention anything about telly or Des Bishop. And I went on a wing and a prayer. And thankfully, it's the best decision I ever made.
And did you get help after that? You know, was it just you got this 5 minutes of being in front of a camera and then off you go on your own?
Des, I suppose, was he took a shine, I suppose, to some of us. And he went on a tour called the Fitting In Tour, which is based around the TV show. So he brought a couple of us with him. So very quickly, we were spoiled. So we were doing gigs in Vicar Street, the Cork Opera House, UL, and amazing big venues. And it lasted for about 6 months, and then it was over. And then we had to accept the reality that we are back in doing the little small open mic gigs.
And at this point, you've given up the IBM.
Oh, and God, no, Tom. I wasn't that stupid. I had to wait. I waited a couple of years. I waited about 2 or 3 years to see if I thought it might have a future. And luckily enough, I started getting booked for festivals and I started the headline gigs. The money started coming in. And said, here, do you know what? You only get one life.
All right. So it was kind of an upturned thing.
Yeah.
You could see it was there. There wasn't this moment where you'd sit your wife down and say, "Do you remember those dinners we used to have?"
Again. I used to tell a great story when one of the big things with IBM, I won this award one time, IBM Global Salesman of the Quarter or something, right? And what they do is IBM, they fly their sales force into a city anywhere around the world. The city we had was Rome. And every night we went back to our hotel room, there'd be gifts on the pillow for me and the wife, there'd be earrings, there'd be watch for me, whatever. Bought to the top restaurants in Rome. And the last night, they wanted the 30 couples to meet in the lobby dressed for a ball. So he took the tin of fruit on. Outside the hotel, 30 horse-drawn carriages, Tom, brought us up to a palace in the hills of Rome, opera singing, 7-course meal. And my missus turned around to be halfway through that meal and goes, "If you think you're quitting this for comedy..."
I'd be with her.
God. Still saying
I'd say there were moments now you walked onto small rooms around the country and you thought,
Jeez, remember, Ron.
I was on the pig's back there. What was I thinking of?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, totally.
Oh, God. I have to say another thing, too. We found you on Fair City a while back.
You found me.
And on Fair City, you were playing this really scary guy in prison. You know, and I was telling the kids, you know, he isn't scary in real life.
My friends think it's the funniest thing ever, Tom, because they know what a wuss I am, and they're like, I can't believe you're playing a gangster hard man.
You're very convincing. Where did you draw that up from?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I grew up in Finglas and Ballymun, so, you know, I'm surrounded by characters like that all the time.
I thought I'd completely misjudged you your whole life.
It's a lot of fun to play. You get to reach into your darkness kind of thing, you know, and do it with a smile.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Evil.
A little twinkle in the eye.
Oh, fantastic stuff. It's funny then, you kind of live through the development of comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's great that, it seems that every new technology has benefited comedy in some way.
Absolutely. I can't wait for the next piece of technology to make it even funnier. Bring it on. Like,
I wouldn't rush too fast. There's AI comedy,
that's the thing.
No mention of AI comedy, is there?
I would imagine, though, there's you know, the ChatGPT, I reckon there's people allegedly getting ChatGPT to write jokes about certain subjects, and I think you could see through it, though, to be honest.
I think it'll sound rubbish.
Yeah, sounds stale.
Poor music, poor comedy. Never going to work.
Down with AI.
Right, that's all this weekend at the brilliant Ivy Gardens.
Yes.
And I hope it all goes well and all the jokes land and you don't try out any new material. You have been warned. Eric, lovely seeing you. Thanks very much,
Tom. Thank
you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.